Welcome to the Tripod, where we break down the NRL every game, every week from a punting perspective. I'm Jacob Wynn. This is the NRL Finals Week 2 punting preview. Off Week 1, we went 2-0 on best bets. We did lose the mixed matchup 28-25 thanks to a dropkick grubber in behind and a penalty try. I've talked all about that in the recap. And we lost the multi for the season. We've hit 60 wins, which is a huge achievement when you're talking about under 100 best bets. 38 losses, that's 61% success rate on the best bets, 67% success rate on the mixed matchups, 18 and 9 so far. If you add 100 on all of those, your profit is over $2,900. The multi's profit is plus 16 units. There are only two games to discuss this week. We'll also get Tristan from Top Sport to let us know where all the action has been, share a bit of insight as well into what the potential lines could be as we look forward to the prelims, depending on who wins. And because there's less games and less tips from me, I've actually invited some guests from the Tripod community, some of the sharpest minds we have, bring these guys back on to share their handicaps and their best bets for the game as well. And because there's only two games, very hard for me to find a traditional, you know, mixed matchup with so much less to select from, but I have created a custom market that is mixed matchup level of value, I believe, that involves the matches. In fact, I have no official best bets, guys, so I think throughout this year, I've averaged probably finding a best bet in every second game, and it's certainly tempting. I was actually really close in both games, and I will let you know the play that I was really close to sharing when we get into each game, but I'll also ultimately share why I just didn't get there with 60% confidence. You just have to remain selective or you're never going to have long-term successful results like we've had over the years with Tripod, so that's why I've just stayed disciplined, not quite pulled the trigger. But having said that, I've still done a complete deep dive on both games. I've still got lots to say, lots to share that I think anyone punting on these games should consider, and my $3.50 value play that I'm going to share at the end does take advantage of the two sides I have a strong lean towards. But before all that, let's start with our sponsored segment, Market Watch.
You know, Tripod family, it's Tristan Merlihan here from Top Sport. What an interesting week of finals just gone. Obviously, the massive upset in Penrith getting beat by the Bunnies. That was by far and away our best result and one of our better results of the season. The money was unrelenting for Penrith, both at the minus and also in multis, taking the other favourites. We almost got a big result in the Roosters-Titans games just before, and I thought, you know, we were a little bit unlucky there, as the Titans probably could have won that game if they passed the ball through their hands in that last play, but then all the multis rolled into that Panthers game, and yeah, we did get a result there. The weekend started. Ordinarily, there was a lot of money for the Storm, and they were very dominant in their victory. They were very impressive. That's seen them firm up into close to even money to win the comp now. They actually drifted a touch on the back of Penrith losing their game, and South Sydney, the biggest firmer, into $5. Interesting couple of games this weekend. Again, all the money is for the favourites in multis, expecting both Penrith and Manly to get the results in their games and proceed through the preliminary finals. It's an interesting one trying to look ahead. Assuming those two favourites win, Penrith obviously line up against Melbourne. You'd probably think in that game it might be around about the 3.5 to 4 point line, I suspect, in Melbourne's favour. Maybe 3.5, just depending on how impressive the victor is, and obviously any injuries as well. The other game's a lot trickier. It's going to be very dependent on how impressive Manly are. You sort of feel that game might be around about that pick and mark. But again, it's a tricky one until you see the composition of the sides, how impressive both sides are over the weekend. So, all right, punters, well, good luck over the weekend. If you're having a bet, make sure you do it responsibly and enjoy the footy. We're getting close to the big games. Thanks, guys.
Really interesting thoughts there from Tristan at the end, especially about what the lines could be in the prelims next week. Now, of course, that would be if the big favourites win, which is the likely results. But as we saw in round one of the finals, there's nothing is guaranteed. But now, I'm no bookie, but I feel like the Storm would be at least -4.5, if not 6, against Penrith, just with how unstoppable they've been and with that extra week off. And maybe I just highly value the week off more than Tristan is, because I would also expect the Bunnies to be a short favourite rather than a pick'em against Manly. Other things to consider is, of course, assuming no key players get injured or suspended, which would increase those lines, because nothing bad can really happen for Souths and Melbourne, you wouldn't think, just in their training. But there's a big risk when you've got to play the footy games this weekend, and it's elimination footy. Of course, one other thing that happened in week one, It was the cat amongst the pigeons, which I alluded to there, which is South getting that upset over the Panthers. Now, that's sad for us because I did tip a Melbourne, Penrith, Quinella, and we can't get that now. It just goes to remind us, though, that anything can happen in finals footy. And the funny thing is, Saturday night was really the crazy day of the finals last week with that doubleheader, both games going down to the wire, one big upset, one near upset. And this weekend, we have two games with double-digit lines, just like we had on Saturday. So those matches didn't go as everyone expected last week, but let's dive into this week and I'll discuss how I see it all unfolding. Now, both games are at Mackay and the first one kicks off Friday night with Manly, whose captain DCE is actually from Mackay, not that he needs any extra motivation. They face the Roosters. The Roosters are 10.5 point underdogs. The total is 46.5. Lockie Croker, who's been really solid filling in as a makeshift hooker for Manly this year, was a withdrawal last week, I think back spasms, but he's on track to play this week and to start, which would be a boost. They had to use a mix of Lawton and Jake Trbojevic at hooker last week, so get a boost with Croker in, which pushes Siren into the reserves. Dylan Walker has passed his HIA. No other changes for a Manly side that lost 40-12 to Melbourne. Roosters have a couple of forced changes, so a big loss TKO to the forward pack. Knee injury suffered very early on in the game against the Titans, and Verrill has failed to challenge his high contact charge at the judiciary, and in fact is going to be out for 2 weeks now. I think the Roosters were the better side. They never trailed against the Gold Coast, but you've all saw how it ended, so they very easily could have been trailing at the final whistle. Nonetheless, they hung on and they eliminated the Titans, and the final score there was 25-24. So on that note, my first kind of takeaway from last weekend is that the scorelines didn't flatter Manly or the Roosters, and those games did not go according to plan. If we start with Manly, first thing that just went against them was few errors and falling behind, and they never had any momentum, never any control, and always having to chase the game against the Storm. The other big thing that went against Manly last weekend was just the fact they were playing the Melbourne Storm, and when the Storm are on, they can do that to basically anybody. So a couple reasons why I don't totally write off Manly. And as for the Roosters, I give them a lot of credit too. Their biggest issue last week was they couldn't hold the footy. I think they completed under 2/3 of their sets, which is always going to allow your opponent to hang in the game. And in the recap, I also talked about how 3 of the 4 Titans tries were pretty fortuitous as well. So I don't think that the Roosters defended badly to concede 24 points. The thing is as well that with this week, you've got Manly, who is now gaining from having Croker back in, while the Roosters have lost another couple of key players. If I look at the Roosters, starting with their attack, of course it's all going to be centered around Teddy and Radley, were both exceptional last week, and possibly Sam Walker. It wouldn't surprise me if he does get a start, or if not, get a lot of minutes at halfback this week. When you're a double-digit underdog, I think it's smarter to add variance to the game, to add the kid that's got no conscience, that's got no fear, that, yes, he's got a couple of errors or inexperience in his game, but he could also create a moment and help you find points that you're going to need to spring the upset. Whereas last week, where Walker didn't play the first 73 minutes, you could argue Robinson was thinking, let's go for the safer, the stable option, because we're the big favourites. We don't need any variance. We just want to be a bit more conservative. And on top of that, with Verrill's out, you would expect possibly Lachie Lamb can play some hooker, which again would bring Sam Walker onto the field. So there's still some threats out there in attack for the Roosters, and Manly's not a team that's been that impressive in defence this year. They've let in plenty of points plenty of times this year, so there is still potential for the Roosters to be scoring some points in this game. But I have mentioned that loss of Joey Manu is just absolutely massive, and I know since Manu got, was knocked out of the game against the Bunnies, yes, the Roosters still put on plenty of points against the Raiders, but the Raiders were rattled and folded in that game. And yes, the Roosters still found plenty of points last week, but I don't know if people realise how much the Roosters miss him and the dimension of the attack of having an extra superstar, not only out in the centre position, but also who can float around the field, is going to be a big loss. On the other side of the equation, people may question Manly's attack this week because we saw Turbo kept fully in check against Melbourne, and then you might argue that showed the blueprint of how you stop Turbo. And that's actually a strategy among several things that Melbourne did in that game, a strategy I've seen the Roosters utilize effectively over the years, which is when your opponent spreads the ball wide, you just totally focus your defense on sliding and always remaining numbered up and always having numbers in front of the ball rather than ever rushing up, and therefore you sacrifice yards and you invite yardage, but you make it so much harder for them to ever break the line and for a defender to ever get isolated. And that's what Melbourne did. And then Manly never broke them open out wide with Turbo because Melbourne just slid and always had numbers in front of the ball. And look, I don't doubt that Robinson will come in with a really strong game plan and he have his team as well-drilled as possible, but he also doesn't have the same roster that the Storm have, or the continuity, quite frankly, in the outside backs, or the forward pack that I think would you need to win the battle in the middle third against Manly either, so that reduces the number of opportunities out wide. So I don't see the Roosters stopping Manly the way Melbourne did. And the other thing about the game last week is it felt like Manly came into the match against Melbourne kind of knowing to pull an upset against a great side, Turbo had to be at his best. And then when Turbo got shut down, it just felt like Manly had no plan B and kind of panicked. Whereas I do feel it's a bit different in this game where if the Roosters go all out and say, we're going to stop Tom at all costs, I still think Manly could win this game. I still think players like DCE, Foran, Schuster, Jake Trbojevic, Lachie Croker, Dylan Walker, when he comes on, they can play make and they can take advantage of opportunities if they're given to them. So, and on top of that, I'd be the first to say, like, no player can just choose to dominate a game no matter how good they are. And we saw that with Turbo last week being negated. But hey, I do think he's that good that I do think that Dez and the rest of the team will find more ways to get Turbo involved. And I do think he'll have a much stronger game as well this week. And that's why I'm definitely leaning to Manly. You know, that I think they're going to bounce back. And I think they will be too good for the Roosters in this one. That with the gains they get, whereas with the losses the Roosters get, those losses just keep piling up. And when I look at the Roosters, I feel like their best case is they keep this close, keep it down to the wire, and then trust that a key playmaker like a Teddy or a Radley or a Walker comes up with a match-winning play. But like, let's look at who the Roosters have lost this year. You lost Keary, Cordner, Friend, Brett Morris, Suali, Joey Manu, Lindsay Collins, TKO. If you had all of these guys available, I really think that the Roosters would be on a Melbourne Storm level, like Storm Panthers level. That's how good they are. And the fact that all those guys are out and they're still in the final six and they're still with a chance to make a prelim and they were knocking on the door of top four. It's really commendable and impressive. I still think they're going to be a handful. They're still trotting out a really classy, especially starting lineup. But I just feel like that you feel the pinch in the depth. It's yet another edge that I give to Manly. I think their bench can add to their, you know, getting on top and carrying that on throughout the game. So I'll never back an underdog, even if it's double digits, if I feel like they need a bunch of little things to go right to keep it close. Therefore, I do lean to Manly. I also should add, I reckon there could be a confidence boost in the Manly camp just by virtue of, yes, they got thumped last week, but then Penrith lost and ended up on the other side of the draw. It's a very realistic pathway to a grand final. So if you agree with me, I'd play the -10.5 with Manly because I think this line's more likely to go up than down. I just couldn't get there with 60% confidence. You know, I do think the bookies have got it quite right with this line, keeping it high, not overreacting to last week. Of all the plays, I most strongly considered Manly -5.5 second half, $1.84 on Top Sport. But, you know, going back to what Tristan said, Manly's been heavily supported. I just feel like those sides are very hard to profit really well long-term when you're taking what is a public side and what is a heavy favourite. And as I said at the top, I have found a value play that involves this game that I actually, that is my favourite way to get at this. If I'm looking at the total, I lean overs because of the reasons I said. I think the advantages Manly will have in the matchup, and I think Roosters are going to take chances which could lead to points on their side or could lead to points for both sides. Let's move to the next game also in Mackay, played Saturday night, Panthers-Eels, and Penrith are a -12.5 point favourite and the total is 42.5. The Panthers regain Dylan Edwards and Leota. That shifts Crichton to the wing and Lenu back to the reserves. Charlie Staines is out. Crichton's this higher ceiling, higher talent player and to Edwards, and I would prefer even playing Stephen Crichton at centre and then slide Momorowski to the wing, but I do actually think Penrith at their best when Edwards is back there at fullback. He's underrated, he's more experienced, he's more consistent, and he can play make a little bit as well and really helps out Cleary. He has great chemistry with Nathan Cleary. And then you also, by having Edwards at fullback, you allow Crichton to be a bit more of an X factor and be deployed really anywhere across the field unpredictably. The Eels also get a boost. Ryan Madison, I don't know why he didn't play last week returning from suspension. He could have, but he was held out of the game. But he's back on the reserves, on the interchange bench. And of course, the Eels still got the result. They won 28-20 against the Knights. Nathan Brown has a cork that he has to overcome. And another big boost, which the Eels got last week, but worth remembering because he's been out for about a month, is Campbell Gillard. He was huge. I don't know if Para even wins that game without the addition of RCG in the middle there. First thing I'll say about this one is let's toss out that round 25 result where Penrith destroyed Parramatta, but it was Parramatta's entire reserve squad. That result doesn't factor into my assessment at all. I just say that. When I look at Parramatta, I'm looking at a side that hit an absolute low point, losing 56-10 to Manly, round 22, and pretty much everyone wrote them off, and since then, had a 16-point win over the Cows, had a 12-point win over Melbourne, and an 8-point win over the Knights in an elimination final, if you just include the games when their starters played. So yes, they also lost 40-6 to Penrith, but make no mistake, Parramatta comes in confident because of what they've done when they've actually had their starters. And considering they were written off a month ago and that they're clear underdogs in this one, I think Parramatta can play just how they like. They can play physical, they can play free. They've got no thoughts of really criticism coming their way and they're not looking ahead. Obviously, I think they know they've got a huge task ahead of them and they're happy to rip in. You can't say the same things about Penrith. I mean, they've been too good and they've shown too much over the last couple of years to lose this weekend. You got last year, they lost one game in 22 before the grand final where you can say they choked or they were got stage fright, especially in that first half. And then this year they've won 21 of 24 in the regular season and they did have major outs in all three losses. I'm pretty sure for one, Nathan Cleary didn't play in any of those losses. And they were heavy favourites last week and they had pretty much all the main personnel that they needed to beat Souths and they failed. And so if Penrith was to lose this weekend, like, let's get it straight. That would be an unmitigated disaster. And, you know, if Penrith loses this weekend, and I don't think it's likely, maybe some news comes out. Oh, Cleary's shoulder was never right. Oh, Luai's knee, never right. To'o had to rush back from the ankle. It doesn't matter to me. No excuses for Penrith. They just absolutely have to win this game. I mentioned tossing out the round 25 match between these sides. It doesn't tell you anything. But let's go back to round 16 when these sides also met. And if you recall, that one came down to a Mitchell Moses penalty shot after the siren to win. And while he missed, the Eels only lost 13-12. So that would be the blueprint for a Parramatta upset. If you like Parramatta, you're looking at the result that game, seeing how close they came. You're liking the fact that Parramatta's playing with house money while Penrith has all the pressure in the world. And I talked about Parramatta's not going to be looking ahead. But what about Penrith? Don't you feel like they could have half an eye on next week? Because how could you not be thinking about the fact that if you win this one, you've got a rested Storm that you've got to beat next? So I definitely see all those things as an advantage, but that's kind of where the advantages end for me. I look across the park and I do still think that Penrith's just a superior side. So I'm not interested in taking Parramatta at the high line. And if I'm going to refer back to round 16, I should also mention Nathan Cleary didn't play in that game. Dylan Edwards didn't play either. And I think that was the game where Jerome Luai actually picked up his knee injury too. So some mitigating circumstances for why Penrith maybe didn't win that game a little bit more comfortably. In the end, yeah, it was anybody's game. Now, looking at last week, for sure, I will say Penrith deserved to lose and Parramatta deserved to win. But they were actually both really close matches. And the Knights' defense really wasn't very good. Definitely not up to final standard. Compared to the Souths, I would argue, put on a defensive masterpiece. So we can all, you know, see that Moses had a cracker of a game last week. And we all saw the Panthers get stifled. I'm just not expecting the same, results this week. We look at Parramatta. They love to gain that ascendancy through their forward pack physicality. And that's what Souths did against Penrith last week. But again, I think South's forward pack at this point in time is even more formidable than Parramatta's. And I think this is the week that after being handled like last week in the loss, the Penrith's big men are going to step up. I'm looking at the Vicious Fish. He was arguably the best form prop in the world earlier this year. A little out of sorts since his return to the bubble. Another game under his belt should do him good. You got Kikau. He's been in the news only surrounding his next contract. He needs a statement game. You got Isaiah Yeo was a front runner to be chosen starting lock for the Kangaroos if a World Cup went ahead. So he's a big game player at this point. Capewell, Martin, they've played Origin Series. Tevita Pangai Jr., new lease on life down there with the Mountain Men. These are the players that I think lay the platform that gets Penrith on top. You know, even Coruscant, we all know he's had a disrupted second half of the season, to say it nicely, but it's a big matchup edge with him at hooker against Ray Stone for the Eels. And then you look at the halves matchup, as talented as the Parramatta halves are, I still got to take Cleary and Luai and give an edge to the Panthers' outside backs as well. I think that while Penrith, you know, will be frustrated with the loss to Souths, I don't think they're going to be rattled. I look at teams embodying the characteristics of their leaders, and to me, Nathan Cleary, Isaiah Yeo, they're calm campaigners. They're not going to panic. I think Penrith holds their nerve, and that's why I would lean, even though this line's above 12. Now, I'd still lean the minus 12.5. $2, you can get that, Ladbrokes and Neds. The other bet that I was really close to making a best bet, I won't get there, but I still like this, would be Penrith to score over 12 points as a team in the second half, $1.88 on Ladbrokes and Neds. But similarly to the Manly game, even though I lean to the favourite, I don't want any part of the underdog, and I don't think the value is on the underdog. I just don't think we're gaining enough line value on the favourite either. I think the bookies have done a pretty good job giving pretty fair odds, and while I still have a lean to the favourite, you gotta have strong confidence that the line is wrong by at least 2.5 points. To find plays that are going to win 60% plus long term. So I haven't got there. There's another factor that has me worried, is if I like the favorite, I can't ignore the fact that the refs are getting a bit more tight and letting a little bit more go in the ruck, which then sometimes is trending towards less blowout games. And when you're on a favorite laying those points, you want the opposite. You want the games to flow more and more points. And we have seen a trend that these games are tightening up, and especially being finals. So again, my custom mix matchup was actually my favourite bet of the week, which we'll still get at Manly and we'll still get at Penrith, and I'll share that shortly. If you're after my thoughts on the total, I actually would lean under for this game, but what's tough about it is if Penrith just gets well in control, there is a scenario where Parramatta could give up late and leak a bunch of points late too. So that's where it's hard to judge the total, but it really depends, I think, how much of a showing you reckon Parramatta's going to give, and if you think they're going to fight hard for 80, then the under would be a pretty solid play. Those are my in-depth thoughts on all these matches. As I said, I called out to some of our sharp minds from the group, and I introduced Matheus last week. Well, he's back and even bigger this week. He sent me a 4-minute breakdown, so I thought I'd better actually watch this before I record my segment, and his 4 minutes is totally on Penrith Parramatta, and he has two tips as well. So have a listen, hear it from Matheus' point of view. He sees the game quite similarly to me, but I'll let you hear it from the Podonis. And while I didn't have a single tip on this match, maybe you can see if he gets you over the line with his thoughts and his tips.
G'day Pod family, Podonis here, looking forward to an exciting week of round 2 finals action. Last week we went 1-2 in our best bets with a losing week, unfortunately. And it was disappointing to lose that first half under in the Eels Knights game with 2 tries we conceded brutally in the last 5 minutes. So never pretty reading, and condemned our fate, but nonetheless, onwards and upwards, and we look forward to this week's action. I've got one game that I like, and that's Penrith Panthers. I think they're a strong chance to cover the line against the Eels here. So all the talk heading into last week was the fact that Melbourne and Penrith are on a collision course for the Premiership rematch in the grand final there, and then Penrith get to watch Melbourne on Friday night come out and destroy Manly. And did they think that they can just turn up and the same thing would happen against a Souths team who were dogged, who were desperate, and they were defensively complete? I don't think I've seen a better performance from a Wayne Bennett team in at least 2 years since he's been there with Souths there. So look, I'm not willing to write off Penrith. I think they've performed and they've shown us over the last 2 seasons that they are that good of a side. And one loss in a final series doesn't erase all that goodwill that they've banked up for us punters and for the media and the public and for their own fans. If you're a Penrith fan, don't write these guys off. They've got a lot of experience in big games. They've got the best player on the planet in Cleary. I think he'll want to show that. And now also they've got a lot of Origin experience with 7 or 8 players this season being picked in the Origin sides. And they've also coming off a winning series with the New South Wales Blues. So I think that'll hold them in good stead. I think Parramatta are coming into this game slightly overrated still. Sure, they beat Newcastle last week in an albeit scratchy performance, and if it wasn't for that 5 minutes before halftime, then maybe the game would have been a little bit closer and maybe the Knights would have had their noses in front in the final 15 minutes. And then what would have happened at the back end of that game? Not too sure. And also, Parramatta playing Melbourne a couple of weeks ago, that line was pushed out from 22 all the way to 25. So if Parramatta were playing Storm this week, what would the line look like? Would it be 12.5 where it is now against Penrith? I don't think so. I think it would be closer to 18. I think Penrith and Melbourne still on the same level. So I had this line closer to 16 points. And when I look across the board, I don't see any advantages for Parramatta. I see Penrith being stronger in all facets, in all departments. I think their forward pack got slightly overwhelmed last week by South, with Burgess running for 200 metres from the bench as testament to that. But I think this week they come out strong, focused. They'll have disciplined effort. Fisher-Harris will step up. Kickout will step up. I think Tevita Pengo Jr. needs to put in a good performance. Otherwise, he can just fuck off to the Bulldogs now. So I'm willing to take Penrith on the handicap. I think they're the stronger team. I would have loved to have had the 11.5 in our pockets a couple of days ago before the lineups, but wasn't to be. Dylan Edwards comes back. He helps a lot. Strengthens support play and backup, which I think was missing last week against Souths. So extra days rest as well, I think it's in Penrith's favour. So I think Penrith are the way to go in this game. It'll be maybe tight early like it was a couple of weeks ago, but I think Penrith will show their class and they'll set up their match against Melbourne in the prelim next week. So I've got two bets in this game. The first is Penrith Panthers minus 12, flat 12 on TopSport at $1.80. And if you have an option for the boosted button, you can hit that on minus 11.5, and that will take it from 176 to $1.80 as well. But for the purposes of grading, let's stick with the minus 12. And we've also got Eels under 14.5 points. That's either on TopSport or SportsBet for $1.86. Good luck, boys.
Next up, we've got Matty the Undertaker, who did make a little bit of money for us last week. He went 1-1 on his tips, and his winner was paying $2.36. Let's see what he's got this weekend.
Hey guys, Matt O'Keefe, and I got a bet in each game for this weekend. The first game, I'm going to go Roosters team total, over 16.5. That's $1.93 on SportsBet. I think this week the Roosters just see this as a bit of a free crack at the stumps, really. They know if Patrick Herbert took any other option last week than other than the option that he took, they lose the game. So it's kind of a free crack for the Roosters. And as injured as they've been this year, they do have a lot of strike plays. I've got more experience than Manly. Manly have actually conceded 18 or more points in 9 of the last 10 games, while the Roosters have actually scored 18 plus in 8 of their last 10. So I'm not sure if Manly cover or not. They might be a bit tense, but I do feel pretty good about Roosters hitting their team total of 16.5. Next game, I'm going to go Eels plus 6.5 at half time. That's $1.88 on Ladbrokes in the first half. I think Penrith don't want to go out in straight sets, and they might be quite a bit stiff, and they just don't want to make any mistakes. I can see this game being a real rock fight early. The forwards are going to bash each other, I think, and I just think I'm not quite sure if Eels cover the full-time line of 12.5. If anyone runs away with it, it would be the Panthers, but I think the Eels can stick around in the first half. The Panthers just want to get out of there with a win and just really not make any errors, so I just like them to stick around in the first half. Good luck.
There you go, the Undertaker. I don't strongly disagree with what he said. I can't endorse Matty O'Keefe's tips there just because I'm leaning to the opposite sides, but I did mention I do think there could be points in this Roosters game, which would definitely help Matty's cause with the Roosters team title. And if you think Parramatta are any chance, I definitely agree they'd need that strong start. And you guys know I advocate highly for, if you like the big underdog, take them first half line, especially if you're getting over that key number. One more point on Matty. I have to say, if you're a fan of his cameos on the pod or his write-ups that he shares in the group, NFL season's now underway. It's week one is in the books and we're up to week two now. And Matty is the host of an NFL player props tipping show that we have available only on the Tripod Facebook page. And that is a show that premieres every Saturday afternoon, 2:30 p.m. If you like your NFL and like NFL player props, check that out. Next up, we got Nicole from Sports Tech Daily with some try scorer tips.
Hey everyone, it's Nicole from Spot Tech Daily. Look, we obviously had a great weekend tipping Matta Kavalu and Inari Tuala for first try score at $8.50 and $13 respectively last weekend. The actual tips we put on the tripod episode were Tom Trbojevic and Garrick to score, and obviously they didn't do that. But we're going back to Tom Trbojevic and Manly. We think they're going to bounce back strongly. We think Lachlan Croker coming back in, Verrills and Takiaho being out for the Roosters should be a pretty big change. Manly's going to be on fire in their attack, we reckon. So Tom Trbojevic, $1.65 for any time try score on Neds or Ladbrokes. If you look at his numbers specifically this year and the games he scored a try, his odds would be closer to $1.25 if you base that just on that. I think he scored in 13 of 16 games. And the other game, we've got Matt Burton, anytime try scorer, $2.30 on Tab, and Kurt Capewell, 29s on Neds or Ladbrokes for first try scorer. We think Penrith are going to bounce back as well up against the Eels, who have done a pretty good job to get into the second week of the finals. And as always, you can check out our tools on the Sport Tech Daily website.
And as my old man always said, look for your money where you lost it. Well, he's doing that with Tom Trbojevic back to the well. With specific players, it's always hard to know for me, like, which player gets the opportunity and score. Always feels like a dice roll. But I do see Manly and Penrith going very well this weekend, as you've heard me say. So I like the sound of those outside backs and a couple of special players that he's taking there in Turbo and Berto. Thank you to our celebs again, not only just for taking the time to record these videos, to share publicly their thoughts, putting them out there and sharing them with you guys the way they see it. But I only reach out to these guys because they're the ones that are putting in the work every single week and sharing tips and breakdowns for us all in the group. So we do all appreciate it. Good luck to any followers who jump on their tips. Finally, the mixed matchup. I said last week I couldn't guarantee I'd even have one this week. It gets tougher with less matches to choose from. Now, if I liked one favorite and then I had like a strong like or lean to one of the underdogs, that would have been a perfect mixed matchup opportunity. I could have gone favorite versus favorite or dog versus dog. But because I lean to both the favorites, it just doesn't quite work where I can't derive enough mixed matchup value. We've got a couple of teams that are paying between $1.20 and $1.30 head-to-head. So it's not, you know, going against anybody to say that I think Manly and Penrith are going to win. But I have still found a play where I think we can pull some value out of this. And that bet is neither the Roosters or the Eels to win a half this weekend. So that is, you take the score of each of the first halves and the scores of each of just the second halves, and the Eels and Roosters can't outscore the Panthers or Manly within those 40 minutes. Now, what's ironic is neither Manly or Penrith actually won a half of footy last weekend. Now I'm tipping that those two sides won't lose one. I actually think that's where we do find a little bit of the value, extra value in this one, because we're taking two very good footy sides that I still have a lot of faith in off really poor performances against really tough opponents that made life very difficult for them. And because we know a lot of punters and the public have short memories, I think there's some people a bit reluctant to jump on Manly and Penrith this weekend. But I've made the case why I think they're just going to be too much to handle. $3.50 you get for neither the Roosters or the Eels to win a half. So even any of the halves can end up even scores, level scores within a half. That's fine too, but just these guys can't be losing at halftime, and neither of them can actually lose the second halves. So this is not a slam dunk. It's paying $3.50 for a reason. The biggest risk that we're going to face this weekend is just in the modern game, teams can get momentum and score in bunches. So if like the Roosters or the Eels have a period where they score back-to-back tries or definitely, you know, three tries in a short space of time, that's probably what sinks us. We have to survive four straight halves of footy where that doesn't happen. But that's why we're getting this price. And the way I see these games, I do see Manly and Penrith finding their way to the front, getting on top in the contest, and then potentially accelerating. And I think the further that, or if Manly and Penrith find themselves in front, it just makes their opponent more uncomfortable and makes the opponent need to take more risk and takes them away from their ideal game plan. So then if these sides win the first half, I think it's even more likely that they go on with it and win the second half. That's why I like that value play at $3.50 available on TopSport. You can have up to $100 on that. That's the show. If both these favorites cover this weekend, you know, I'll slightly kick myself for not having best bets, but you know, then again, if they both win well, these big favourites would more than likely win that $3.50 play. So I'll still be happy with that. But let me know what you think of that play particularly, and any of my assessments that I've shared for this weekend, as well as the celebrity picks. See you Sunday. I'll keep the recap on Sunday, even though obviously there's no Sunday footy, sadly. But it might get a bit late to do a recap, but I'll give it a day to digest those two results, and then I'll do a very brief live recap. So if you enjoy the recaps, I'll see you Sunday. But if not, enjoy the games, and I'll see you for the preview. This time next week, we'll be previewing the prelims. Good luck on all your punts. Gamble responsibly, and leggo!